Have you had your soup today?
And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to our final episode of 2016 of Sheologians. We are here to put the she in dishwasher.
Yes.
Nailed it. And I'm here with my BFF, Joy. And Joy, if for some reason our airplane was experiencing problems, I want you to know that I would help you with your oxygen mask before adjusting mine. And that is against Sky Code.
Wow. Though I'm not totally surprised that you're breaking a rule, because you're kind of like that.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And that wasn't even my compliment.
Oh, I'll take it, though.
But this is summer. Mm. It's the last episode of the year, right?
It's the last episode of the year.
So I'm going to get a little bit sappy.
Oh, no.
This is Summer, who's my favorite person to record with, giggle with, and or have a mental breakdown with.
Yes.
Which we did yesterday when I left her house. Everyone was crying.
I mean, I wasn't crying yet.
Janny did her first wave.
Janny waved at Joy, and it was her first wave. It was a good wave. And she was good. She was good at it. She seriously nailed it. I know. And then Clementine, for like a half an hour, was like, when am I going to see Joy again? And then I was ready to cry because it didn't end. It was really something special. So, yes, it is the end of the year. And as promised, I brought back my favorite theologian. His name is Dr. James White. And I have half his DNA. So,
yay.
He's all right, I guess. So, end of the year. We're going to be quick because hopefully you are getting ready for a rockin' New Year's Eve party. I don't even
hopefully.
Know. Yeah, right. We're like moms and we're boring. So everyone's going to be asleep at 9 p.m. Let's just be honest about that.
I'll be showing a video.
Oh, what are you showing? Tell it.
At BRBC.
Oh, right. What are you guys doing this year?
What we do every year.
Right. They have a rockin' New Year's Eve party. They eat pizza and they watch a VHS.
Yay.
Excuse me. We have moved up to...
a VHS.
You can play DVDs now.
Okay, great. Right as DVDs are going away. So, our last episode with Dr. White, we hope that was a blessing. And we hope that you guys had a good Christmas. So I wanted to ask mi padre. So one of my favorite things, and you see it, if you watch The Dividing Line, and if you don't, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Is the question.
How did you find us?
Why are you here?
I don't know how people find Sheologians before The Dividing Line.
Can you please stop, rewind, go get the other stuff? So if you watch The Dividing Line on YouTube, though, like when he turns towards the camera, like that's when you know like it's about to happen.
Right.
Like his whole like he'll just like shift.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, kiddo, I'm talking to you. And a lot of times it has to do with.
It never worked for you.
No, it didn't, did it?
No.
Now that you don't have glasses and can't look at me over your glasses, there's no help. Oh, no.
Oh.
Do not look over your. I'm not looking over
Things
there.
Things just got much more intense
I'm
in here.
I'm not looking over there because if he's looking at me over his glasses, I am immediately going to have a ton of anxiety.
Right.
Please stop. if there was a Summer Marie or if there was an over the glasses, then whatever I was doing was...
Hey, let's sit down. We need to have a talk.
...was done. And now I have anxiety, so I'm not sure even how to ask this next question. Dad. Okay. So 2016 was interesting.
Everybody says it was a horrible year.
Well, Harambe. Obviously.
I was thinking Alan Thicke, personally.
Right. Oh, were you hit hard by that?
Well, you know, everybody's saying that an extraordinary number of people died this year. And I really sort of doubt if you analyze the statistics.
I don't buy
was
that.
The case.
No.
Yeah.
I think we're all just so sick and tired of the election that we just decide, it's the election of 2016, therefore,
right.
A pox on 2016.
Right. Okay. So tell us, I remember, I think you've been asked a similar question before. Like, what do you think the biggest problems are going to be facing the church the next 5 years? And so
Todd Friel asked me that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So my question is, you know, Trump is a bit of a wild card.
Oh, yeah.
I think that if Hillary had won, it might have been an easier question. Like, so what does the next year, 4 years look like in the church potentially? But Trump is a wild card, so it's hard to say, well, this is what our nation's going to look like politically. Like, how can we even know, really? I guess my question is, 2016 was really intense. 2015 was really intense, given the Obergefell. Okay, just never mind. He said it.
I wish it had been Smith, just personally.
Like, yeah.
Jones something.
Given that, and then, you know, abortion is, like, really in the news right now with all this stuff. So
Ohio and stuff, yeah.
With everything going on in Ohio. So what would you say, two-part question, what would you say the biggest issues are going to be facing the church over the next 4 years, and what should, in light of those issues, Christians and the church be doing?
I don't see that the Trump election indicated what a lot of people are saying, that there was this huge groundswell of a change in perspective and things like that. I don't see that. I think two really, really bad candidates were presented to us, and one was just really, really badder than the other one. And it was fairly close when you look at it. So I don't see that there's been some, you know, I don't see that America has gone, you know what, this secularism thing's bad, let's get rid of secularism. There does seem to be some recognition, I think, but I think people are already recognizing this 2 or 3 years ago, that the next generation is understanding that abortion is a bad thing, because this generation has grown up finally now with pictures of their brothers and sisters on the refrigerator before they're born.
Right.
There's ultrasounds everywhere.
Yeah.
And the connection has been made. And it's not that there's a Christian worldview that has all of a sudden popped up. It's just, as a secularist, you're still made in the image of God, and you look at that and you go, huh, that looks like the baby right there. Huh. There must be a connection. I guess if I kill this and I kill that, it's pretty much the same thing. So I think that's where some of that is coming from. And yet at the same time, the forces, you know, Planned Parenthood is just gearing up. I can't believe that Obama went ahead and did the executive action protecting Planned Parenthood, because it's irrelevant. You know, Trump could dump that the very first day that he's president. But will he? I don't know.
Right.
No one knows. You know, that. So I don't think that really much has changed, because I don't see that there's been some groundswell of change or repentance or revival or anything along those lines. It just would seem that the speed at which governmental intrusion into the church's life has probably been held back by at least 4 years, maybe. I don't know that. I guess I'm just being hopeful,
right,
in light of some of the people that are being put in charge of certain, you know, at the top.
And very post-mill of you.
Is that going to have a trickle-down effect? you know?
Right.
No, if 4 years isn't really post-mill, it would have to. That's not really there, I don't think. But it's really hard to see. The people in the Department of Education are still the same people in the Department of Education. They still have the same secular worldview, and they still want to indoctrinate our children into a particular perspective. And will they be just slowed down in their efforts? You know, if this administration turns out to be a disaster, then there could be a whiplash effect in the direction.
Right.
So who knows? But the issues remain the same. The issues are still the fact that we are in a secularizing society. The universities are still run by God-hating liberals that do not teach you how to think, but what to think. And so nothing really has changed there, other than maybe the timeline. And if we have been given a reprieve as far as the freedom to preach the gospel, then we really need to be redoubling our efforts and focusing upon this next generation, because as they rise and take power, that's where the changes are going to have to be taking place, and that's where our focus needs to be. And I don't mean what some people are suggesting in gutting the gospel to try to just trick millennials into having a positive feeling about Jesus. I'm talking about warning millennials that they've been robbed of their intrinsic worth, they've been robbed of their humanity, and really making a strong presentation of the gospel, recognizing they're still made in the image of God, and the Spirit of God can use that gospel to change their hearts. So maybe that's the way to say to the church, all right, maybe we've been given a reprieve. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be a year from now, we're going to have some idea.
Right.
I think. But then when you think about it, a year from now, you've only got 3 more years before the next election.
Right.
I think what's going to be happening militarily in the Middle East, Russia and China are really getting expansionist. Trump talks big talk, but you have to have the money, you have to have the equipment, there's a lot of fundamental changes that have to take place to strengthen America militarily. But if you strengthen America militarily without strengthening America's ethics and morality, what does that accomplish other than making for a much less safe world?
Right.
I don't know. I don't see how this election has cast any light on the future.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it has made it, if Clinton had won, we'd have a really clear idea of exactly what was heading our direction. I think now we're just sitting here going, well, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Right. Have to wait and see. What did you mean when you said millennials have been robbed of their humanity?
Well, if you really believe, if you get up in the morning with the worldview that states that I am an accidental animal, that I have no more meaning than the fact that there is one muscle contracting in one part of my chest, another in another part of my chest that causes me to breathe, and there's still chemical reactions going on between my ears. If anything happens to any of those things, that's it. Nothing I've said or done will have any type of intrinsic value to it. I wasn't supposed to be here. I don't have any particular calling or meaning other than what I assigned to myself. That is not the worldview that we keep going back to this, but it is such a contrast that kept those young men in those transports coming up to Normandy Beach in 1944. They were convinced that Hitler and Nazism were evil, and that for the safety of their families and their children and other people's children in their own nations, that they had to do what they were about to do. And thousands of them died right there on the beach. And if you don't have a worldview that talks about sacrifice to others and service to others and our relationship to the future and things like that, an intrinsic meaning, then you've been robbed of those things. And I don't think we could win we couldn't do a Normandy. We couldn't do what we did then with the way things are right now.
Right. Right. Any questions for him?
I do, actually.
Okay.
This is the one I told you I was going to ask last night.
I've already
now
it.
That this conversation has turned this direction, I'm so glad I have this question.
What was it? This is going to be new for me, too.
Okay, so we have baby boomers, Gen X.
Oh, yes.
If you could rename the millennial generation, what would you rename it?
The Diaper Brigade.
I agree.
Yes, I knew it was going to be epic. I knew it was very epic. There it is.
Yeah, I mean, if at 24 years of age, you still need to hug your stuffed toy and have a safe space. I just wonder if you've graduated from pull-ups yet.
Right.
I just really, really do. And I realize, obviously, that there are many in that generation that have experienced enough life now to recognize that doesn't work. You've
mm-hmm.
You can't be offended by everything that goes by you. You're going to live your life offended. Can't do it. I get it. But a lot of people haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
And the other thing, I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to make people angry.
Yes.
I'm going to make people angry. But to men, to young men in particular, if you are sitting around.
Here it is.
Wasting your life hours a day on first-person shooter games. Grow up, dude. I mean, I see men, and they don't even know how to talk to a woman. They don't even know how to approach her. They don't know how to show interest in her life. And it's because they know more about zombies than they do women, or at least real women. I suppose there may be some women soldiers in the game or something.
Yes.
But it's just like, oh, my goodness. You've got to, please, stop. You look at how late people are getting married now.
Mm-hmm.
And our next generation's barely... The only grandparents they're going to know are in a rest home.
Right.
And that's a shame. I'm so glad you got to know my mom.
Right.
You know?
Me too. One of the highlights of my life.
And for me, you know, to have a grandchild, you know, when I'm 50,
mm-hmm.
and hence can actually have some influence and positive
right.
influence and maybe even get to be at her wedding, you know, someday and stuff
right.
like that. You wait till you're 34 to get married. Ain't gonna be happening, man.
Right.
Ain't gonna
right.
be happening. So yeah, I got some
the family.
People get
family.
Mad at me about. They really, really get mad at me about.
Really?
Right.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
You say that
I'm
all the time.
I'm just so tired of you picking
okay.
on millennials.
Yeah. Well, and let's clear it up a little bit. Are video games inherently bad?
No, but you know, it's sort of like, you know, when I was that age, I got over involved in a game. It was called chess.
Okay.
All right. And I
absolutely believe that.
And I lived it. I lived it. Junior high school, I lived it. And it wasn't bad because it happens to be really good for your mental development.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of parallels between chess and debating. There really, really, really,
yeah.
really
no,
is.
I can, that's it's, absolutely why I can
yeah. Oh, yeah.
see you being into chess.
But I eventually determined as a Christian that it had become an idol because it was far more important to me than anything else. You know, when you know what you're thinking about in your quiet moments.
Yeah.
And you know what proportion of that is godly and what proportion of that is worldly. And all I was thinking about was that. And I put it aside. I got to the point as a junior high schooler, for those who know these things, I had a USCF rating of 1800 in my last tournament that I played as a junior high schooler, which is pretty good as a junior high schooler. And I had gotten to the point where I could play without the board. So I could, I could turn my back to the board and play you and keep the memory in my mind. So
he can beat me in 4 moves, which doesn't say much because I'm terrible at chess, but I have lost a game of chess to him in 4 moves. So,
Yeah, that's the mean dad thing.
Right.
Well, we all need that. If we all only had moms, we'd
think be in trouble.
We could win everything
right.
no matter what.
Right. It's so true. It's so true.
We need dad to scare us and
it's
to take us down a few pegs.
Absolutely. So, and actually, so this has been a dream of mine for about 3 months now. And we are about to get taken down a few pegs. I would like to end the year with, I told my dad I wanted to end the year with a game of soundtracking because it's a Sheologian staple. My dad thinks that, I mean, what do you think when you hear soundtracking, Dad?
I personally, when I first heard it, I was riding my bike.
Uh-huh.
I was out in Anthem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, see, I put the two and two together. I can tell you right where I was.
I know.
And I was riding along going, I could not only never do this, but I think that some type of substance has to be distributed amongst the participants to actually make this work.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's what I was thinking.
Because of that response, it's been my dream to have my dad play a round of soundtracking with us. And he
great
was
at chess. Great at soundtracking.
Great at soundtracking.
We
I don't know.
We'll see.
So I told him he could pick the song. And so Joy and I have no idea what song we're about to soundtrack.
We do know. Are you nervous?
I'm actually, my stomach kind of hurts a little bit.
I'm not nervous because I've been playing this game my whole life.
Okay. Okay. But you have to
not
participate. If you're going to put us on the spot like this, Dad, then you also have to be participating in the soundtracking. and making this happen. So
I may be participating primarily through laughter, but I'll do my best.
Okay. So the premise of soundtracking is you're listening to a song, and what is happening in your head when you're listening to the song? What do you see when you're listening to this song? The person that's singing, what are they doing?
It projects an emotion.
The emotions that you're feeling.
Yes, maybe like an actual scene.
So I'm very nervous because of the face that you're making. His lip was shaking a little bit, trying to hold in the laughter. So
I've done this with every genre of music for a very long time.
There are just so, many things in my library that I could have done.
So you're saying this was, you did us a favor.
Well, no. I mean, there's just so many.
I'm so scared. So my stomach actually hurts. All right, Joy, I'm going to follow your lead.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready? Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I hope this works.
Okay. Really.
Ladies and gentlemen, John
Denver. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Good evening, Newcastle.
Okay. Okay. A man playing a guitar.
Lost and alone on some forgotten highway.
Okay, so he's driving his old Chevy?
Remembered by
few. See, what I'm imagining is like a family traveling together.
Okay. He's looking
across
for something.
Across a wide plain.
A plane, okay. He's looking for...
I'd like to do...
So the thing is that it's a whole intact... family unit.
Okay, it's an intact family unit.
But obviously, the father is the primary trailblazer here.
He's a trailblazer.
I'm imagining pioneers.
Okay.
Sort of like an American.
I just see really bad hair when I see John Denver.
An American sound of music.
No.
They're having to flee.
Oh, they're
fleeing. He's doing what's best for his family. But you know how it looks when pioneers flee.
Okay.
It's not fast.
If you don't like the direction it's going, you take it somewhere else, Dad. Okay, you can take
it
somewhere else.
Seriously, if you're feeling something...
Look, this man doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know where he's been.
Right.
Oh, he's on drugs.
No,
talking about a man on the side of the road. He's hitchhiking. He's hitchhiking.
No, but he's looking because he knows his life is worth the living.
Okay, but where is he getting his meaning from? By what standard?
Sweet surrender.
Surrender? What does that even mean?
He's surrendering.
He surrendered his belongings to the police because he's been...
to a higher power.
He's checked into rehab. No? Okay.
He's like a bird in the air.
He's
surrendering.
Yeah.
Don't you see the beautiful mountains ahead of
him? Yeah, I know sometimes if you drink too much, you might think that you could fly.
He wants to live without care.
Right, like most addicts do. I think you're learning something about John Denver right now.
No.
He needs water because all he's had is beer.
No, that's not. You're missing the essence.
Okay, well, give me the essence. Give me the essence.
Well,
he's
lost and
alone.
He's lost and alone, but he still has hope for the future.
Why?
Because he's traveling this road, and there's many others who've traveled this, but unlike the rest of them.
It's not the narrow road, it's the wide road. So we know.
No, this.
that he is a drug addict.
He's looking for something he'd like to do with his life.
Oh, right. Because he has no direction because he doesn't follow the biblical standard.
There's nothing behind him and nothing that ties him. It might have been true yesterday.
He doesn't know because he was. So out of it.
No.
No.
You are so.
I'm imagining kind of a like Forrest Gump esque running scene where he's like running across.
Really?
Oh, with the beard.
Running across the country.
Right.
Essentially.
That's good.
So
she's bringing it back. She's saving us. Okay. He's Forrest Gump. He's got his Bubba Gump shrimp hat on.
So essentially, what happened before this?
Yes.
Is that he had a job that was not satisfying.
There's a spirit that guides him, though.
Right.
And a life that shines for him.
Right.
His life's worth the living. So there's...
Moralistic therapeutic deism, because it's unnamed.
Well, and so he found that this, what his previous life was just not really doing it for him.
Okay.
That's right.
But then what happened, he didn't...
Sweet surrender.
He didn't know immediately what he wanted to do.
Okay.
So he embarked on this grand adventure.
Run.
It's like a fish in the ocean. Come on.
Right.
Fish in the ocean.
Fish in the ocean. He's fish in the ocean.
I do
He's
love
a
fish
man
in the ocean.
On his bike.
Also,
traveling across the country.
Fishing. Okay.
It's his 54th birthday tomorrow.
And he's riding his bike across the country for the first time for his 54th birthday.
Right.
And he's flying. He's got his arms out because he's going down a hill.
No, that would be very dangerous.
The purpose of the adventure is not to discover himself.
Okay, no.
It's just to...
Because he's reformed.
It's just
so he doesn't need to discover himself.
Embrace his identity.
Right. Does this song ever end is the question.
It does in 26 seconds.
Okay. Okay, so he makes it to the ocean. He makes it to the East Coast.
Right.
And he realizes...
And he becomes a fish in the water like Mr. Limpet.
Mr. Limpet?
You don't, you don't know Mr. Limpet?
What's Mr. Limpet?
No. Neither one of you?
No.
Don Knox, Mr.
What's Mr. Limpet? I don't know what just happened.
Wow.
But
I
we survived.
The point is that he did not become a fish in the water through reverse evolution or anything like
true.
That.
That's true.
Got it. Okay.
I cannot believe that I never showed you Mr. Limpet.
You never showed me Mr. Limpet. What is that?
That is just a, you would love it because it's Don Knotts and he becomes a fish in the ocean.
Who's Don Knotts, Dad?
We're going to have to look at this and put it on Geologians.
You never saw the Andy Griffith Show?
I never watched the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, I like the Andy Griffith
Show. He looks
so
betrayed
right now. But I don't
know
who that is.
You're my parent, so it's actually your fault. I never watched the Andy Griffith Show. I know it has that really annoying whistle in the beginning.
How could you have had a moral upbringing without Sheriff Andy?
I mean, I don't. You heard Joy in the beginning of the show. I like to break all the rules.
You know, if you had known Opie... And if you had known.
Got it.
Wow.
Well, that was really fun. I hope you guys enjoyed what was the most stressful soundtracking I've ever
done. I think
done.
That was great soundtracking.
I enjoyed it immensely.
I like the collaboration of ideas.
Definitely collaboration.
There was no collaboration.
I got that.
Which was none.
It was a constant apologetic attack upon John Denver is what it was. From one particular participant.
What else did you expect?
Which just shows that in soundtracking,
yes,
there is much variation,
yes,
and room for creativity.
And everyone should
and
try
room
it.
For every
right.
age,
right,
every creativity level,
right.
whatever.
Yep.
If music makes you feel a certain way, soundtracking just, exists.
Right, just roll with it.
I should have done Glenn Miller.
Oh, Glenn Miller. Oh. So one of my favorite songs ever is Moonlight Serenade.
You guys have dad, daughter... Glenn Miller?
We totally do. Just like all of it.
I do with my
do
dad
you?
Too.
Yeah.
Specifically Glenn Specifically Miller.
Specifically Glenn Miller and me and my dad. Well, I'll wrap up the show with Glenn Miller because that will be, I'll have the, we're going to close with some Glenn Miller. Maybe I'll even put in my favorite song, my Glenn Miller song, like Close Out the Year. I'm getting emotional. So this is where I'll take the opportunity to say that one, you guys.
See, I'm just so excited that you and I both have
yes.
specific...
This song makes
like,
me
If you ask
feel...
me to say, like, what music
yeah.
makes you think of your dad, I would say Glenn Miller.
I would say Glenn Miller, too.
That's amazing.
This song specifically makes me feel... I feel like I have an elephant on my chest right now because of the emotions. So this is what I'll take the time to say, Dad, having you on my show is like a dream come true.
It's been wonderful.
It's been so fun.
Despite your detestation of John Denver, it's been
okay.
great.
Yeah, we can't get too mushy, so this wasn't a dream come true. All right, guys, we hope you have a wonderful new year. Thank you so much for being here, and we will see you next year. Bye.
Bye.